Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for today's edition of the Appraisal Buzzcast. We really appreciate you joining us. We have a great episode with one of the rock stars in the appraisal industry. Hal, let's get started and talk about who we have today.
Well, we've got my good friend John Brennan joining us today. And John is, you say he's a rock star in the industry. He is a giant in the industry in so many more ways than just one. I have to look up to John, and I'm not a small person.
You guys, you're overwhelming me with your kindness, but thank you so much, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
You know, John, I know everybody in the room knows you, knows who you are, all that business, but just real quick for us, give us a rundown of your history in the appraisal business, your history in the appraisal industry, and kind of where you came from.
Yeah, well, happy to do that, Hal, because it is a little bit of a journey. I feel like, I'm on my 40th year in this industry, and there are a lot of people out there that have similar time in the industry. There are some that have more, of course. What really the uniqueness that I feel like I bring to the table is because of the varying types of experience within the industry that I've had. So, for example, I started as a residential appraiser. I did that for several years. Then I started commercial appraising, did that for several years. I went to work to run an appraisal district for a large national financial institution, which I'm happy to say still exists. So I didn't mess that up too badly. And then I went to work for the state of California. I was the chief of licensing enforcement for 8.5 years for what is now the Bureau of Real Estate Appraisers, but was the Office of Real Estate Appraisers when I was there. I transitioned from that into working at the Appraisal Foundation for 16.5 years, where a lot of people probably recognize and remember, my service there. Then after that, I transitioned to 3 years at Clear Capital as the vice president of valuation policy and chief appraiser there. And so the thing that I like to, to bring from all of that is that when there are issues in the industry, I really feel like I have a benefit because I have seen the various perspectives, whether it be from an AMC to a regulatory agency to an individual practitioner. And while that doesn't make me special per se, it does allow me to better understand the concerns and better understand the questions and the issues that are facing us as appraisers and in the valuation industry.
You know, I have a friend that likes to use the phrase very unique. And my wife always points out there's no such thing as very unique. Unique is a binary thing. It's a one-off. I think your experience is unique in the industry. The coming to it from boots on the ground appraiser, residential, boots on the ground appraiser, commercial, and then going to the regulatory side for such a long period of time and then working with the foundation and then with larger industry. It is a unique skill set that you bring to the profession. I'm going to take a real quick break and give a shout out to one of our sponsors, and then we'll come back and continue our chat with John Brennan.
Since 1978, LIA Administrators and Insurance Services has been offering E&O insurance to valuation professionals. LIA applies superior customer service, exceptional liability education from Peter Christensen, and unparalleled claim defense managed by Claudia Gaglioni. LIA offers errors and omissions, commercial bonds, general liability, cyber liability, and real estate agents and brokers E&O. Visit liability.com or call 800-334-0652.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Hal Humphreys. I've got John Brennan on the line with me today here on the Appraisal Buzz. You know, John, you've got a new thing happening in your life. Tell us what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, thanks, Hal. I have decided to open a consulting practice. And I think that, the idea there is twofold. Number one, it's to be able to try to take advantage of the perspectives that I have that we talked about just a few moments ago. But also, it really is my desire to continue to be able to help, to be a resource, to be of assistance. You know, I've been doing this too long to just be doing it for a paycheck. You know, my goal has been and continues to be over the last 30 plus years, being of an assistance to others. And you know, people say, you know, people question that when I work for the state. And believe it or not, that was the truth. Despite being the chief of licensing and enforcement, we had a philosophy of education and prevention first. So that was designed with the intent of helping those appraisers who are trying to do a good job, but maybe got in over their head a little bit, maybe didn't have a full understanding. Well, you know, the principle there was not to say, well, let's really hit them hard. Let's see if we can give them some education, keep them on the straight and narrow, and hopefully never see them in an enforcement action again. The ones who were intentionally bad or so bad that they're a danger, that's a whole different class. That's right. Out they go. You know, and I will say very happily, that is the underwhelming minority of any of the appraisers that we ever saw complaints on. Same philosophy went to the Appraisal Foundation, where I could answer questions related to USPAP from the Appraisal Standards Board, as well as any qualification criteria and some practice issues, because we did have for some time that Appraisal Practices Board, which has published some valuation advisories that I'd encourage appraisers to look at. And even when I went to Clear Capital as an AMC, you know, my goal was to help in that role, to help appraisers see what some of these new programs, new products, new things were coming. Because again, my goal here is I have a passion for our profession, and my goal is to see it remain relevant. So this new gig as a consultant, it's the same thing. It is trying to help, trying to be a resource, whether it be for appraisers, because maybe they have received a state complaint, or they've received some, you know, they need advice on a certain issue, whether it be for state regulators, who I still have a lot of contacts with them with in looking at things, and hopefully I can try to help shape, you know, their perspective on things, whether it be appraisal management companies working to help them understand some of the nuances in terms of the regulatory world, et cetera. You know, I'm really trying to be able to keep everyone that I work with as much as aware and current with the things that are going on, and whether that be the GSEs with some of the new programs, et cetera. There are things that I really feel like my experience can lend to help understand and assist in navigating that way forward. We need to remain relevant. We want to work with people. We don't want them to find that they believe there's a need to eliminate us from the equation.
Right. You know, you and I have both attended the Aero conference so many times over the years, it's ridiculous. And for those in the room that don't know what Aero is, it's the Association of Appraisal Regulatory Officers. And you know, as an enforcement officer back in the day, you would have been a member of Aero, I'm guessing. You know, I've been to that conference so many times, and the overwhelming message I get from state regulators is, we're not here to bust appraisers. We're here to make the profession better. Now, some of them do say they're there to bust appraisers. They get a kick out of playing Johnny Cop. But at the end of the day, if you're an appraiser and you have a complaint filed against you, you have got to avail yourself of all the resources available out there to help yourself out. Because if you live in a state where the regulators are not out just to bust people, they're going to be more willing to work with people like John and your insurance company and attorneys and things like that. And if they're not, you want someone on your side that can help you navigate those waters. I'm going to take a real quick break here for our second commercial to give a shout out to our second sponsor for the day. And then we'll be right back to continue our discussion with John Brennan.
The Appraisal Institute recently launched its Instagram page, AI's latest presence on social media, joining Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and the Face Value podcast. Visit and follow AI's Instagram page for another way to access valuation news and association updates. www.instagram.com/appraisalinstitute.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Hal Humphreys. I've got John Brennan on the line on Appraisal Buzz, and we're talking about John's new venture. He is now offering a consulting service. I was really glad. I didn't even know that this was a thing that we're going to talk about, to hear that you say you're going to offer your consulting services to individual appraisers when they have a need. Because from a consulting perspective, going with the big dogs is obviously the way to get, you know, big money in the door. But being available to individual appraisers to help them work their way through compliance issues. Talk to me a little bit about some of the things you can bring to the table for, let's start with appraisers, and then let's go to, you know, AMCs and lenders and talk about what kind of compliance issues you can help them navigate.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Hal. Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the strengths that I have is that I have been for so long seeing the potential disciplinary sanctions and the complaints filed and the types of issues that states do have with appraisers, and have a pretty good understanding of where the buoys in the water are in terms of how that falls in, or how that should fall into a disciplinary scheme. I did author, when I was at the Appraisal Foundation, the voluntary disciplinary sanction matrix that many states have adopted as, again, as a guideline. It is voluntary. States aren't mandated to follow it, but it does just that. It tries to establish some consistency, which is the hallmark of credibility in the profession. So I have a lot of experience with that. And so there are appraisers that I've known over the years that have contacted me, even in my other roles, and saying, what do I do? I got, you know, the state's asking me about this and that, you know. And so to be able to help, you know, understand, you know, first of all, you know, just take a breath and let's take a look at it. And we've got some great people out there that work with appraisers, you know, Craig Capilla and Peter Christensen and many others. And I think that being able to explain to them, you know, this is what they're saying. This is what we're up against. Let's figure out what a good strategy is here. Let's try to understand, okay, you did make a mistake here. Or, you know, I mean, there isn't an appraisal that's ever been made that's perfect. We all know that. We hear that all the time. So they've identified a couple of mistakes. So what does that mean? That's where I feel like I can really be of the service, to be able to point out, because when you look at as many complaint cases as I've looked at over the years, you know, if you want to see things like, you know, intent, and I know, Hal, with your background, you certainly understand this stuff, you know, you don't prove that on a single appraisal report, right? You know, it's a pattern of activity. It's what somebody does. So when you see an appraisal report that contains a couple of errors, and if there's a state saying, well, you're really trying to, you know, reach a certain result or really trying to push something, well, let's take a look at that appraisal report and see, in every opportunity to push that, did you go in that same direction? Or do you see that this was maybe, you know, something that was just a miss due to an error or errors, but it wasn't some sort of, you know, a scheme to reach a certain point. So yeah. I think that is something that can help, you know, appraisers bring the anxiety level down a little bit and help negotiate with the state, you know, okay, let's really understand what we've got here and why and how this appraiser should be treated. Again, always in my approach, given the benefit of the doubt, education and prevention. And then if it's a bad appraiser, they will see them again. But generally speaking, that's not the case. So that's kind of the appraiser angle. I think, you know, from lenders, you know, with both lenders and AMCs, there are a lot of issues surrounding our business, you know, that seem to be ever increasing, whether it be new policies, whether it be new programs. I think that, for example, you know, that we see the desktop appraisal option that came out, you know, last year, and was put into place, but it was put into place when the market was really starting to cool down. You know, it hit just as the market started to cool down. And as we know, timing is everything. So a lot of those lenders would say, what's my advantage to using this? I can request a full traditional appraisal, get it back in about the same time, and get it for about the same fee. Why do I want to put in all these new processes to get no perceived advantage? Well, had that rolled out 2 years earlier, or post-COVID, you probably would have had lenders lining up for this because we had the expensive appraisals, the long turnaround times, things like that. So it's a matter of really trying to get lenders and AMCs educated about what these programs are, what they can do, what they might not do, how it works in a waterfall of products. It's really an educational effort. And then at the end of the day, it's no different than anything, right? Let's make an informed decision. Informed decision. Let's look at these products as an appraiser. Let's look at these products. Give it a try. If you don't like it, if you don't think it's worth your time, say no thanks. Yeah. But don't say, oh, I heard they do this and that, and therefore I'm not even going to look at that. Be a professional.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's really the key. Be a professional. So I have a notion that if an appraiser has a question about something they're working on, like I have done this on a number of occasions. I've got a situation, I'm looking at a thing, and I'm like, I don't know what the right thing to do is here. This is in my appraisal practice. And I know the Appraisal Foundation has Lisa Damaris, who can answer questions for appraisers. She's very good at doing that. Is that the kind of thing you'd be willing to do? If I was having a struggle with an issue, could I call up John and say, hey man, I'm thinking about this. Am I thinking about this the right way?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll say that Lisa does a great job. That's the role that I was in for all those years. Very, very knowledgeable on USPAP and on qualifications. And I think the one thing that, because USPAP does not prescribe methodology or techniques, it simply says recognized. And many times people say recognized by whom. But some of those methodology questions, it's hard for Lisa to answer, not because she doesn't know them, but because being a representative in terms of understanding USPAP, USPAP doesn't prescribe them. So right. I may be able to go an additional step if an appraiser has a question about methodology or theory or something that goes outside the confines of USPAP.
And the same thing I'm assuming goes for AMCs and lenders. If they're looking at a product or a thing they would like to try, they've not gotten a complaint, they're not in trouble, they're literally working their way through a thing. Is that the kind of thing you could provide as a service to them? Hey, I'll help you walk through the potential pitfalls with this product or this new idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The experience that I have attained over, particularly over the last 3 years working with, one of the largest national AMCs, I've really gotten to learn a lot of the new products, the new valuation products, loan products, et cetera. And so if there are questions, and a lot of times, some lenders and AMCs and people for that matter, don't like to ask certain questions in a public venue because they might feel like either they're A, giving away a trade secret somehow, or B, giving an impression that they may not, be up to snuff. Listen, I'm happy to try to help answer any of those questions in a setting that is safe and that nobody has to worry about what anybody else thinks. And so hopefully I can be a resource in that regard.
I love it. John, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. Let's bring Jim Morrison back in the room if we can. I'm excited for your new venture and what's ahead for you. I think, it's kind of perfect timing for someone with your background and skills to be in a position like this, to offer your services kind of across a broader spectrum. So we're tickled to have you here and talk about these things. Jim, do we have anything else we need to cover today?
No, John, I really appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us.
Gentlemen, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
For Jim Morrison and John Brennan, I'm Hal Humphreys. That's your Appraisal Buzzcast. We'll see you next week.